Hello and welcome to chartbiz.org. Today I have with me David Baker from Charting Success, and we're going to talk about customer services or customer service.
We are.
One of the things that you are happy to promote is another person's book, not yours, called Hugging Your Customer by Jack Mitchell. Now, it's an American book.
It is an American book. It's by a man who runs a family business in Connecticut in the United States. It's a department store, and the town where the department store is situated has a population, I think, of, well, at the time the book was written anyway, of 28,000 people, and they have a secondary store in or near another town called Greenwich, not ours, theirs, that has a population of about 60,000, but the turnover of the store is $65 million.
That's phenomenal.
It's amazing, isn't it? And you think, well, how could that possibly be? I mean, do they sell things that are incredibly expensive? And the answer is no. I mean, they're not cheap by any means, but if the book's to be believed, and I think it's demonstrated by the turnover of the business, they look after their customers particularly well. The title of the book, in fact, is Hug Your Customers and Love the Results. And I suppose it's a little bit over the top in the way that some American things can be.
Yeah.
But I think that we can learn a lot from it, not just in the retail business, which they're in, but in pretty much any business, frankly. If you look after your customers, you will love the results.
Mm. I mean, there's the old adage of the 80-20 rule, isn't it? That if you can look after 20% of your customers, 80% of your business will come from that.
Yeah, I think what they're saying in the book really is you look after 100% of your customers and your business will improve astronomically. But yes, you're probably right about the identifying the 20% that really do the big business with you and making sure you look after them particularly well. The essence of the book, though, I mean, it's called Hug Your Customers. They don't, I think, mean it literally. I suppose it might work for some people.
I've got a habit of doing that, yes.
But no, what they define as a hug is that little bit extra that they give someone, perhaps remembering their birthday because they're a regular customer, so they'll send them a birthday card. Or if they bought a suit, they might throw in a tie because it looks particularly good with that suit.
Right.
It's those little bits of extra thing that they call hugs.
Oh, well, I'm very pleased to say that I hug. Because here on the nursery, you know, when people buy a tree off me, they get full planting instructions, you know, how to actually plant the tree properly and information about how to look after it. And the amount of people who have said, you know, oh, gosh, nobody's ever taught me that before. And I've had people who have gone away and have come back and said, the information that you gave us was absolutely brilliant and you were absolutely wonderful, which is very nice if somebody makes that compliment. And they come back and then they buy. The other thing is I don't push sales. Now, you're a business coach and you probably tell me I'm very wrong not pushing sales, but I tend to let people make up their own minds. I give them options and then I sort of slightly stand back unless they ask for that extra bit of advice. But it's once my extra bit is, you know, I always ask where they're going to position the tree, what the conditions are. Here in East Anglia, we're predominantly clay on this side of the A140 and sand as you get to the coast, and fairly dry, except for at the present moment. So it is a case of, you know, finding out what the conditions are and then also what the client wants. They always get greeted. Well, they get greeted by the dog because Poppy always runs up and greets. But that type of thing, people seem to like.
It's interesting, though, isn't it, that you can go into a lot of shops and you can start looking at something and an assistant might just notice you, assuming that it's the sort of shop that still has assistants. How often do you get the question, are you all right there? Or can you see what you want?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you want? These are all open questions and it's very easy to say, no, I'm fine, thanks. Whereas, well, I'll give you an example. I'm a bloke. I don't like shopping, I have to say. I really don't like shopping, and I especially don't like shopping for clothes. there are plenty of shops that I could go to buy clothes with huge amounts of choices, but I tend to go to one particular shop in the area. No big secret, and I'm sure you won't mind me saying a name, it's Coe's in Ipswich. And the reason I go to Coe's in Ipswich are actually quite simple. I can park the car there, which is actually quite difficult in Ipswich if you've ever tried it recently.
Yes.
So I can park the car there, it doesn't cost me anything. I walk in and I start looking, for example, at a suit. And someone will come along and say, I see you're looking at suits, sir. Is it for a particular occasion? Now, that's actually a specific question. And last time I went there looking for a suit, I said, well, yes, it's actually for my goddaughter's wedding. And do you want it formal, sir? Any specific requirements? Well, yeah, I'm sort of looking for something that's comfortable and looks reasonably smart, but not too over the top. Well, I'll tell you what, sir, take a seat there. Would you like a cup of coffee? I'll just go and find you some. I think I can see what size you are. We'll try a couple on. And he came back with three suits, and I bought one of them. Now, that's what I call shopping, and that's what I call service.
Yes. Yeah, that has gone now that we have mass department stores and mass high street retail chains. I will say that that's very rare, except for one shop. And the one shop that I have found, and it doesn't matter what you ask, and that tends to be John Lewis.
It's funny, I had a feeling you were going to say that.
And Waitrose. Mm. They seem to have got that happy balance, particularly as a woman going in. And they sell the chain clothes a lot of the time. A lot of the things which are sold in John Lewis, you can get elsewhere. But it's the fact that if you're in the changing room, you don't want to put all your clothes back on, go out, find something. Nor do you want to leave all your clothes, handbag, etc. in the changing rooms. All you have to do is say to an assistant, excuse me, can you get this in a size smaller? Or in my case, usually, a size larger. And they will go and do it. And that is the attention to detail. And I think that's where the small business person comes in. When you've got a small specialist shop in particular, either be shoes, clothes, food, whatever, I think that's where we gain, if we follow some simple rules with regards to looking after your customer.
It's not difficult, is it? It's not rocket science. It's treating people how you'd really like to be treated yourself, rather than just completely ignored, which you are more often than not in many of the stores that you go to. But I think some of the problems with the small stores face are actually things that they can't necessarily affect. I mean, the thing that I mentioned was parking, and I guess we're getting slightly off topic here, but it's still a very important consideration. You know, if you were going to go to Ipswich to buy something, there are all sorts of reasons why you might choose a particular store, but if you like John Lewis, you're going to go to John Lewis, A, because you like it, B, because you can park easily there. Mm. But that's part of the customer service thing as well, isn't it? But it makes it very difficult for some of the smaller shopkeepers in the centre of town because they have no control over it.
Yes.
Quite the reverse, in fact.
Yeah. It is one of those things that people do look for, and that is ease of parking. Also, if you're going to buy a few bags of something, which is quite heavy, you don't want to actually try and get on Park and Ride. You know, the Park and Rides are very good. That is one of the big things to attract people to the city centre. But when the councils don't look favourably upon doing free parking or allowing you to park for an hour for free and then charge after that, which is what they do in Diss in Norfolk, first hour parking, any of the council car parks is free.
Yes.
And that really does stimulate the small business economy, because a lot of the time you're not going to be there more than an hour. And that is one of the regenerations. I think Mary Portis actually said that one of the big concerns she found for the high street, that parking was one of the issues, and the fact that councils want to keep small businesses within the high street, but they don't do anything to actually positively encourage them being there or positively encourage clients, customers to visit the high street. And a lot of the car parks, which were very successful, have ended up being sold off to a major supermarket chain, we won't mention who then charges for the car park.
Well, it's an interesting point. I mean, parking is something that wearing my other hat, my Federation of Small Businesses hat, is something that we've been concerned about, and especially with Ipswich. And I think that Ipswich Borough Council will actually say, well, we don't actually own most of the car parks in Ipswich now, so we have no control over it. Well, that's all very well, but that doesn't actually encourage people. But, for example, the park and ride that you mentioned, and you came up with the classic problem with park and ride. OK, you park the car, you get on the bus, you go into town, you start shopping. What on earth are you going to do with all those bags of shopping? But once more, it's not an insurmountable problem. If there was a system that said, yes, I bought these here, can I actually get them delivered to my park and ride location, the problem goes away. If the park and ride didn't stop running at 5:30 or whatever ridiculous time it does stop running, but it's early, then you might be inclined to stay in town and go to a restaurant or a cafe, watch a film, and then get on the park and ride and go back and find that all of your stuff has been nicely delivered, carefully stored for you. All you've got to do is bring the car around, load it in and go.
Yeah, I think that for a lot of people who work within authority would be a step too far in their thinking. It would be fantastic for us as users. But I often find that levels of customer service, and I will say it doesn't matter what the customer service is, and this is council supplying a front-end service to their end users, it does seem that there's a lot of short-sightedness. And it's not just the councils, obviously, and it's not just parking. It's us as small business owners sometimes can be a little bit short-sighted. And thinking of how we can offer a service is often quite different. I mean, how many times has somebody, you've gone to somebody's business and you've sat there and you've thought, I don't know why they're doing it like that. Or, well, if only they do this, it'd be much better. Because all of us have got the ability to see somebody else's business and run their business, as I keep getting told by some people. And you think, well, sometimes, one, you're bogged down in your own business. You're trying to run it, and particularly with the economy the way it is now, a lot of people are running quite short-handed. You know, we are here, as I've had, let staff go this year. And you think to yourself, yeah, well, come and do my business. But that's where the beauty of having a business coach like yourself is, because you put your trust in that person, and then that's where you can come in, and I won't take offence opposed to other people telling me how to run my business, because I've actually asked you to come and do it. And sort of looking after customers is one of the key points, I would think. I mean, mine's a tree nursery with a design practice, but that affects everybody, whether you're a solicitor, accountant, whatever.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the point about it is that if you don't sell something, you haven't got a business. It could be a charity, it could be anything, but it isn't a business if you're not selling something. By definition, you've got to sell something to someone, and that someone is your customer. And so it makes sense that you actually look after those customers. And the number of businesses that I come across that, in whatever way, don't particularly look after those customers, or don't actually, for example, take a note of who the customers are. I mean, if you can keep a track of your customers in some way, shape or form, much as, for example, the supermarket, who we didn't want to mention the name of, keeps track of their customers through loyalty cards, it's a system that works. They found that something that works for them, but there's nothing to say that the small business can't do similar things. It's not difficult to keep track of your customers. And if you can keep track of them, you can sell to them again.
And how would you advise us to keep track of the customers that we have?
I suppose it rather depends what the business is and how many customers that you have coming into it. I mean, if, for example, it is a retail business, you have a fairly high turnover of customers, you could still give them some form of loyalty card that says, bring this card back next time and we will give you whatever's on special offer this month. You don't have to give a lot away to actually make it feel to someone that they're being specially treated, that you are looking after them. If you have a business like mine, for example, where I don't have very many clients, I don't need that many clients. Yes, I'm a business coach, but if one of my clients says, well, I've got a problem doing this and I can't find someone to do it, well, I might choose, and have done in the past, to go in on a Saturday morning and say, well, look, I'll roll my sleeves up, I'll help you move the desks around, fix the computers up, do whatever. And that way they think, well, you know, this guy really cares about my business. Yeah. And it is about caring for your customers.
Yes, yes, I can see that. Yeah. And that seems to be the basis of how Hug Your Customer and this department store in America seems to be working, is the fact that they do that extra, going that one step further than the average person.
Well, I think obviously they sell a relatively high value product. I mean, yes, they're a department store, but they sell very expensive clothes. But in the book, it talks about things like customers phoning them on a Sunday saying, oh, I forgot to come in and pick up my altered suit yesterday and I've got the big business meeting tomorrow. So they have an on-call number for the store. Someone will go in and pick the suit up and deliver it to the customer. That's extra special service, but that's how you get the $65 million turnover with a relatively small population.
Yes, I can see that. So you've got some other quotes that you wanted to mention your book, not their book.
I think there's a quote that I have in my book which I think is particularly appealing and it amuses me. It goes like this. The elements of success in this business do not differ from the elements of success in any other. Competition is keen and bitter. Advertising is as large an element as in any other business. And since the usual avenues of successful exploitation are closed to the profession, the adage that the best advertisement is a pleased customer is doubly true for this business. And that was by Madeline Blair, who's a US prostitute.
Yeah, so the thing is, it's customer satisfaction.
It's customers every time. As I said, if you're not selling, you're not in business, and you have to sell to customers, so you might as well keep them happy.
Well, thank you very much, Dave, for those adages. And we look forward to hearing from your next ones.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gareth.